David has been chased out of Jerusalem. He's scrambled for his life because his son Absalom, his third oldest, has made a claim to the throne and gathered people around him and most of Israel around him, and is now has approached Jerusalem and is coming to enter into Jerusalem. So David and those faithful to him have headed out. We begin with 2 Samuel 15 and verse 10. This is God's word, eternally true. Then Absalom sent secret messengers throughout the tribes of Israel to say, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpets, then say, 'Absalom is king in Hebron.'" 200 men from Jerusalem had accompanied Absalom. They had been invited as guests and went quite innocently, knowing nothing about the matter. While Absalom was offering sacrifices, he also sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, to come from Gilo, his hometown. And so the conspiracy gained strength, and Absalom's following kept on increasing. A messenger came and told David, "The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom." Then David said to all his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, "Come, we must flee, or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately, or he will move quickly to overtake us and bring ruin upon us and put the city to the sword." The king's officials answered him, "Your servants are ready to do whatever our lord the king chooses." The king set out with his entire household following him, but he left 10 concubines to take care of the palace. So the king set out with all the people following him, and they halted at a place some distance away. All his men marched past him, along with all the Kerethites and Pelethites, and all the 600 Gittites who had accompanied him from Gath marched before the king. The king said to Ittai the Gittite, "Why should you come along with us? Go back and stay with King Absalom. You are a foreigner, an exile from your homeland. You came only yesterday, and today shall I make you wander about with us when I do not know where I am going? Go back. Take your countrymen. May kindness and faithfulness be with you." But Ittai replied to the king, "As surely as the Lord lives and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king may be, whether it means life or death, there will your servant be." David said to Ittai, "Go ahead, march on." So Ittai the Gittite marched on with all his men and the families that were with him. Now skip down to verse 32. So still in chapter 15, but verse 32. When David arrived at the summit where people used to worship God, Hushai the Archite was there to meet him, his robe torn and dust on his head. David said to him, "If you go with me, you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, 'I will be your servant, O king. I was your father's servant in the past, but now I will be your servant,' then you can help me by frustrating Ahithophel's advice. Won't the priests Zadok and Abiathar be there with you? Tell them anything you hear in the king's palace. Their two sons, Ahimaaz and Zadok, son of Zadok, and Jonathan, son of Abiathar, are there with them. Send them to me with anything you hear." So David's friend Hushai arrived at Jerusalem as Absalom was entering the city. Now go down to chapter 17 and verse 5. Chapter 17 and verse 5. But Absalom said, "Summon also Hushai the Archite, so we can hear what he has to say." When Hushai came to him, Absalom said, "Ahithophel has given this advice. Should we do what he says? If not, give us your opinion." Hushai replied to Absalom, "The advice of Ahithophel has given is not good this time." Now go down to verse 14. Verse 14. Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than that of Ahithophel." For the Lord had determined to frustrate the good advice of Ahithophel in order to bring disaster on Absalom. Now, lastly, to verse 23. Verse 23. When Ahithophel saw that his advice had not been followed, he saddled his donkey and set out for his house in his hometown. He put his house in order and then hanged himself. So he died and was buried in his father's tomb. Here ends our reading. We have a response of thankfulness that's printed for us in our bulletins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks indeed. Let's pray. One time my oldest daughter, Larissa, was in a new situation. There was a new group to be a part of, and she was interested in being in this group, and she started going to this group. But unfortunately, what happened, which sometimes happens in a group, the group was quite content with themselves. And they didn't need her, nor were they interested in getting to know her. And so she found herself sometimes even in a car going to some place with this group, and they were all talking to each other, and she just felt excluded. I remember maybe about 10 Memorial Days ago being at a place where I was invited for a Memorial Day picnic and sitting around in a circle on lawn chairs, and we were eating our food, and I kept trying to be a part of this conversation in this circle I was in, and literally a person next to me kind of turned his shoulder, so I was like behind his shoulder as he talked to everyone else, and I felt, that's weird, right? To be excluded in that way. And this passage and passages we've been looking at this morning instruct us how we are to be as God's people as we consider those who come into our midst who are new, people we haven't met before. Are they a threat to us? Are they to be welcomed by us? Are we to put them on probation for a while? Are they guilty till proven innocent? How do we think about new folks as they come into the kingdom of God altogether? That is, non-believers coming in, or believers coming in, like people who have moved into our community and come in to be a part of the church. That's what the elements of this text speak of and that we look at today. If you'd like to fill out blanks in an outline, you're welcome to do that. If you want to just listen, that's fine too, however you best take it in and benefit. But God says to us first, number one, and I know here I'm preaching to the choir this morning in large part. That is, this is something you folks do really well. And so this message should be a message to you of continue to do this well. Continue to know that you are right in acting as you do when new folks come into our church. So that is this, it being the case that our lives are marked by increasing, as we talked about last week, increasing loyalty and joy in serving Jesus in his kingdom. That's what we talked about last week from this passage. And all these people in this passage who increased in their loyalty to David because they saw what a great king he was, who increased in their joy in serving him and said, you know, even if, like Ittai the Gittite, even if my serving you ends up in my death, I'm going to be with you no matter what. So that being the case for us, that we're increasing in our joy in aiding our King Jesus, here's your blank now. Be welcoming. Be welcoming to new folks in our church. Be welcoming to new folks in our church. And welcome and rejoice over their willing service. Rejoice over their willing service alongside you to our King Jesus. Again, you folks do this spectacularly, so keep it up. But we have in this passage all these new folks. These aren't just all Israelites who have been together for a long time. This passage underlines the fact that a lot of these folks who are following David at risk to their own lives out of Jerusalem are not Israelites, but they are loyal to David. And they have great joy and are utterly committed to serving David because they recognize God's blessing the one true God, his blessing on David and all who are under him in his kingdom. And so we see there's Hushai the Archite. If you look at verse chapter 15, verse 32, there's Hushai, and he's noted as the Archite. This is the Holy Spirit making sure we know he's not an Israelite. He's an Archite, and Archites were Canaanites. We know this from Joshua 16:2, and it's also in Genesis as well. These are not descendants of Jacob. So Hushai's there. He's one of the new folks to David's people. And then there's Ittai the Gittite and his 600 Philistines that we see in chapter 15, verse 18. And David had been in 1 Samuel when he was running from Saul. He took residence in Philistia to hide from Saul. And he lived there in Philistia under the king of Gath, who gave David and his 600 men a city, Ziklag, which is to the south, to live in during that time. And during this time, these Philistines say, boy, it's better to follow David than to follow our own king. And so when David departs from there, after I think he was there a year and 4 months, it tells us, these 600 Gath people, you know, Goliath was from Gath. They were Philistines. They followed David. And they serve as fighters for David and with David. And then also verse 18 of chapter 15, 18, you've got the Kerethites and the Pelethites. And these were also non-Israelites. And we read over David's kingship and his time that they were kind of his bodyguard. They were his close soldiers who stayed around him and fought for him and protected him. So in this passage, of all the things the Holy Spirit could inspire in this text, he wants to underline and make sure we understand amongst faithful Israelite Jerusalemites who are following David no matter what, we have these newcomers to Israel, these newcomers to David's kingdom, who are leaving Jerusalem and following David and doing many things for him. We see in verse 19 of chapter 15, look there, again, to underline this fact for us, newcomers. How do you treat newcomers when they come in? This text says this. David says to Ittai the Gittite, you are a foreigner. And David goes there and says, don't trouble yourself for me. Just go back to your homeland and there won't be any trouble for you. But to us, this text is saying, this is a new person who's loyal to the anointed king, the one anointed to lead God's people. So the question is, why do we welcome new people into the church? Why do we gladly employ them in service alongside of us? And it's A there in your outline. Why? Because we're seeking Jesus' glory and not our own. We gladly welcome them in. We gladly welcome them to serve alongside us and to help out because we're seeking Jesus' glory in the church and not our own. What do I mean? How so? Number one, if we're seeking our own glory and position in the church, if we're seeking our own glory and position in the church, if that's what the church is about, then new people are a threat. They're competition for us receiving glory and attention in the church. We see in Hushai was a threat to Ahithophel when he goes in and poses to be helping Absalom. Right? Ahithophel was the counselor. Ahithophel was the one with the great advice that everybody considered gold. And Hushai the Archite comes in and he's also been a confidant and a counselor to David, David's friend. And so Hushai poses a threat to Ahithophel. And Ahithophel gives us advice that had it been followed, Absalom would have been successful by all indications here. It's said twice to be good advice. And in fact, Hushai, he gives the opposite advice, and then he sends the messengers. He gets the messengers through this person and that person and that person off to David and says, just in case Absalom changes his mind and follows Ahithophel's advice to attack you right now, instead of waiting to gather all of Israel and to attack you sometime later with more people. That was Hushai's advice. Hushai says, just in case, leave this place and get away from here. Ahithophel's advice was good, but Ahithophel didn't welcome the newcomer Hushai because he was a competitor. And we find out Ahithophel's motives, don't we, in 17:23, the very last verse we read. Ahithophel wasn't there. We know he's not there for David's good, because he gave advice that would have been David's death. But we see, even here with Absalom, Ahithophel says, well, my advice wasn't followed. I'm not glorified in this kingdom. People no longer value me. And so he just goes and puts himself to death. He hangs himself. He was there for himself. And Hushai was a threat to him. We don't want to be like this. People concerned about our glory and our position, as Ahithophel was. Number two. So we don't. We are glad for newcomers and their service and their joining in because we're seeking Jesus' glory. And if we're seeking, your second thing there, if we're seeking Christ's glory and don't care about our own positions, if we don't care about our own prestige in the church or honor or getting attention in the church, if we care about Jesus getting the honor and the attention in the church, more people in the church, that's your blank, when new people come in, more people in the church simply means more glory to Christ. More people in the church means more glory to Christ. And so you see David here, you know, Kerethites, Pelethites, Ittai the Gittite, and his 16 or 600 Gittites, Hushai the Archite, all these people who come in, he's like, great. And you don't see any objection to this that's shown to us among David's people. They all accept these people in and say, great, you're with us? Okay, bodyguard, that's taken care of, the Pelethites and the Kerethites. They're doing that. It's something I don't have to do. What else can I do for the glory of my king, David? A church always wants to welcome its visitors who come in and join in following our great anointed king, our Messiah, Jesus. The term Messiah means anointed king. That's what David was to his people. He was anointed king. He wasn't divine son of God like Jesus was, but he was the anointed one, as David was. And we're glad for foreigners to come in and recognize the greatness of our king. We're glad other people come in and seek to be loyal to our great king. That's a good thing for us because we are aimed at that. That is number three there in your outline. We want more and more people coming in working for Christ's glory. When more people come in, we say, great. More people to work for Christ's glory. Hushai the Archite works for David's glory. He goes and does in Jerusalem what David asks him to do. The Gittites, the Pelethites, and the Kelethites, they're all serving as military officials for David's glory. They're his warriors. And so, number four, we rejoice when new folks come in, whether by new faith or by new move, because they can help us as a church bring more glory to Jesus. They help us as a church bring more glory to Jesus. This is Jonathan's argument to Saul in those passages Bob read to us. It's his argument to Saul. He says, hey, what harm has David ever done to you? In fact, David's only ever helped you. We've been very successful as a nation because of David's help. He's not against you. He's for you. And that's the way we treat, you know, David was new to the scene. He was a shepherd boy who'd come in. And he comes in, and from the moment he comes in and comes to the battle line there in the Valley of Elah, where Goliath was taunting the armies of God, the armies of Israel. From the very beginning, David's helping. He comes and he brings from his father cheese and fruit and bread to refresh the troops. And then he says, no one's fighting this guy? Well, I'll fight him. And so David's nothing but help to Saul. And so Jonathan, Saul's son, makes this argument to his dad. And he says, Dad, why are you seeking to squelch the help that this guy brings to us? He's nothing but good for us. And that's how we treat new people who come to the church. We're glad they've come in. Jesus is king, not us. It's about people serving him. And so when people come into the church, we're like, more people to worship our king? Awesome. Right? That's why we want our church to grow. Not because we think we're successful or cool if more people come. That's crap. Right? Some churches think that. You know, they kind of get off track. Okay? We're glad people come in. We want the church to grow because we care about Jesus being honored and worshiped. And so we're glad when other people come in and we say, yeah, and applications are available. Come on in. Right? The two things about this that we've kind of mentioned, A, there. They may provide for us as new people come in. They may provide more ministry within the church. I tell people when they come in the church, we don't have a lot. And I'm not a salesman. I tell people this all the time. So I'm not a salesman. I tell people to come on in, they go the other way. So I don't have that gene of being a salesman. And so I just tell people the truth, lo and behold, huh? But we don't have this, we don't have that. We're not against all these things. We just, you know, it's just as God gives us gifts, we do things with those gifts that we have. And so new people come in the church, and then we have more gifting and more ministry that can be done in the church. And this is 1 Corinthians 12. Everybody's got different gifts, and we don't have all the gifts that God's ever given to the church. And so new people come in, they've got different giftings from the Lord, and it's more ministry that can be done so that the church of Christ, us, that we can be built up, and that we can know Christ better and honor him more. Okay? Second thing, B. They are also another source. They're also another source of even more folks being invited in to worship Christ and to be loyal to him in this world. Jesus takes in Philip as a disciple in John chapter 1. And immediately what happens? Philip goes and talks to his friend Nathanael. And he says, come, see this person. Could he be the Christ, the Messiah, the King we've been waiting for? He says, Nathanael comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, yeah, you're Nathanael. I saw you sitting under that tree before you were thinking about ever coming to me. And Nathanael's response is this. He says to Jesus, Nathanael, this person who's just been invited to meet Jesus by Philip, the disciple. Nathanael says to Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You see who the Jews were looking for in the gospel time? They were looking for the King. That's what Messiah means. That's what Christ means. The anointed one who would take David's place. And so there's a new person who comes in, Philip. And he's not Simon. And he's not Andrew. He's not James and John, the original four. A new person comes in, Philip does. And then Philip immediately becomes a source of more people learning about Jesus, coming in and declaring him Son of God, Christ King. And so that's where we're excited about new people coming in. They also are a source. They live in a different neighborhood. They've got different neighbors. They've got different co-workers. They've got different people in the schools or teams or whatever they're involved in, whom they can invite into the church. Not that we would be bigger for being bigger's sake, but that Jesus would be worshipped and honored and glorified by more and more people. Now, five here. But we rejoice as well. We rejoice as well because we love our neighbors. We love our neighbors. When new people come in, We love our neighbors, and any who come into Christ's kingdom walk into current and eternal blessing. We're excited when new people come into the church because we know it's good for them. If they weren't a believer, we know they're going to hear the gospel and they may believe. The fact that they're here means that God may be working on them to bring them to faith. And that's why they're here and not here. And so we love our neighbors and we're excited about people coming in to hear about Jesus. But also, if someone comes in and they're new to town, that kind of thing, we know they're going to be, you know, progress in their knowing Jesus and how to live their lives as they're here. And they'll glorify God more and more in their lives because they can grow in Christ as they're among us. And so we rejoice as new people come in because we love them. And so we're the Israelites, and the new person comes in as the Pelethite, and we say, as good Israelites, we say, this is good for those guys. And we say, this is good for those people from Gath, those 600 soldiers from Gath. They will be blessed, and they wouldn't be blessed if they were still off in Philistia. And they bear God's image. This is good that they're here. And we're glad that they are blessed too. You see, we don't want to be like those people who are early in the vineyard or early in the field, called in that, you know, that third hour to come and work all day. You know, we want to be people who say, you know, great, I get eternal life for being in here. Fantastic. One denarius, that's all I need. That's a day's wages. Thank you. Thank you for calling me into your field. And yeah, absolutely, I'll work all day. I'll work the rest of my life for you. And when people come in the 11th hour with 1 hour to work, you know what Jesus says? Rejoice. You didn't deserve the one denarius. You didn't deserve to be called into the field in the first place. And you agreed that eternal life was a great deal. And that's who we are as Christians. We say, eternal life is a great deal, and I deserve none of it. And so if someone receives Christ, someone believes in him on their deathbed and does nothing for the church all their life, we go, awesome! We have another person in heaven who's worshiping our great King Jesus. Right? We don't care. It's our joy and our glory to work for him all day long. If they didn't get to work for him all day long, that's actually their deficit. It's great to be able to work for Jesus. It's a blessing to be able to work for him. He's a great master. He's a great Lord. So, we're glad for Hushai the Archite. We say, that's awesome. More Canaanites should be coming in and being under David. It's to their good. It's to their blessing. And they bear God's image. And so I have compassion. And I have joy on them when they get to experience the blessing of being under God's great anointed one, Jesus. Now, B. In B, we answer the question, what kind of people do we welcome into the church? Quick answer, all kinds. Even Michigan fans. Or Carolina fans, or Duke fans, or however you want to translate that. All kinds, whoever comes in, our chief loyalty is to Jesus, and all earthly loyalties are just silly compared to that. So be welcoming to new folks in our church. Welcome and rejoice over their willing service along us to our King Jesus, regardless of their, here are your blanks, regardless of their race or nationality. And those were real issues with this Canaanite Hushai. This is a real issue with the Philistines, the Gittites. They were racially different. They were coming from different religions as well. But our response is welcoming, welcoming. And so we see this, you know, from chapter 15, 18 through 22, tells us all these different nationalities. Verse 32 tells us Hushai's the Archite there. You see this with Jesus in John 4 when he deals with the Samaritan woman. She was racially not quite Jewish. She was half Jewish and half everything else. And the disciples were like, why are you talking to her? They didn't know that they should be welcoming a Samaritan. In fact, the deal was that the Jews from up north, when they came down to Jerusalem, they went around this way, to avoid Samaria, so they wouldn't have to have any actions with the interactions with the Samaritans. But Jesus cuts through Samaria, goes right through it, and he's talking with this Samaritan woman, welcoming her to take of the streams of living water. He invites her to take of water for which, if she has, she'll thirst no more. So that's John 4. Jesus teaches his disciples, it doesn't matter what race or nationality somebody is, we receive them in. Ephesians 2, 11 through 19. Bob read that for us. He says, you who were Gentiles, Paul says, you were formerly excluded from citizenship in Israel, but now you're included. You're blessed. You who were two, Jews and Gentiles, you're now made one in the body of Christ, and this is God's great design. That we don't care anymore about race or nationality or particular state you're from or who you root for or anything like that. And then we see in the end and what's going on in heaven now in Revelation over and over again. And Bob read to us from Revelation 7. It said people from every tribe and tongue and nation are around Jesus' throne. And this makes sense. For God created all human beings. He created all skin colors, all nationalities, curly hair, straight hair, all the different things on our genetic code. That's all from God. All something fun to think about that was inside Noah. All right, all the differences we see now. Noah possessed the genes for that. So we take people in regardless of their race or nationality. And number one there, in fact, the greater presence of more races and nationalities in the church also brings Christ more glory, which we are for, of course. Number two, why are we for? All these people coming in, and why does this bring Christ more glory? And it's number two, because it proves that the greatness of Jesus is not just in the eyes of one cultural group. When people from different races and cultures, even different cultures within different subgroups and subcultures within Clayton, you know, when they come in, it proves that Jesus has this universal appeal. That all men, all women, all boys and girls need him. That he is the solution to all kinds of people, not just a certain subset. Yeah, that's one of the problems with, you know, the Mormons. You know, when they do their witnessing, they have to wear the blue pants and the white shirt and ride the bicycle, right, or walk. You know, it's because it was a man-made religion made during a certain time when those were appropriate clothes to wear. You know, we had Mormon roommates in Bloomington, Indiana, when we were down there, we asked them about that, and they were missionaries in Thailand, and they said it was sweltering heat, but I had to wear the you know, the blue pants and the white shirt and that kind of thing, and we were just soaked at the end of each day. But Jesus has this universal appeal to all kinds of cultures. It proves that the greatness, there's your blank there, proves that the greatness of Jesus is not just in the eyes of one cultural group, but to all humanity. And that's what we looked at in the call to worship. Look there in your bulletin there. At the very front, Jeremiah 3:17, at that time they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations will gather to Jerusalem and honor the name of the Lord. And then we responded back with Psalm 87, and Psalm 87 talks about, even Babylonians who come to me, God says, I will say, this one was born in Zion. Now, Zion is another name for Jerusalem, basically. And so what God is saying is, this one is a citizen of the capital city of my people. Even if he's from Babylon, even if he's from Egypt, regardless of where he's from, if he comes to me in faith. This was always the design of God, that people from all nations, all races, all languages would come and offer him worship. So someone in David's loyal entourage leaving Jerusalem here, if they were jealous of Hushai, that would be very inappropriate, right? Instead of rejoicing that we had this Canaanite who acknowledged the greatness of our king, worthwhile of leaving his own people behind, the Canaanites, and worthwhile of going in undercover and losing his life, we as Israelites would all rightly rejoice at that and recognize how inappropriate it would be if someone would say, oh, that guy, that Archite there, man. We'd say, what do you mean? He's helping our king. And so we do the same thing. And you see in these passages, in this passage here, that the Great Commission is always in the Old Testament. And that the offer of salvation was never a racial thing. I think that's a blank for you. Yeah, that's number three. Israel's being the chosen nation was never a racial thing. God's always calling people from his own nation, he's calling people to himself. In the Old Testament, everyone from other nations and races who comes is received in. Right? Rahab was a Canaanite. Hushai was a Canaanite. Ruth was a Canaanite. Guess what? Ruth and Rahab are both forebears of Jesus. Jesus has their blood in his veins. David has their blood in his veins. God's always accepting the worship and the allegiance of people from all nations and races and languages. It was never a thing about genetic Israel. It was never a racial thing. All through the Old Testament, all these people are coming in. Even when they leave Egypt, they've got Egyptians among them who come out, who recognize that this is the one true God, who actually repent at the 10 plagues and say, these guys have the one true God, not the gods of Egypt. And then number four, instead of this being a racial thing, it was always a thing about faith. Always a thing about faith. Those who had faith in the one true God were in and part of the people of God, Israel. They were declared born in Zion, as Psalm 87 puts it. God accepts all non-Israelites who come to worship him throughout the Old Testament. And so when you read this about David, you see that he was surrounded by non-Israelites. He was surrounded by new people who were loyal to him. We will read later about David's mighty men, these 30 warriors who were like the army rangers, the Navy SEALs, that he kept running. Three of the 30 are non-Israelites. And so that's what God is doing. And so be glad when new believers come into the church, or when longtime believers newly come into our church. Be glad, whatever they look like. Be glad from whatever culture they've come, whatever nation, whatever their skin tone is. Because God calls all people to worship our great King, and we rejoice when they do. We let them come in, we welcome them, and we rejoice that they help, just like all these non-Israelites are helping here. You know, Israel, after David and then after Solomon, they divide into the north kingdom, the 10 northern tribes and the southern kingdom. And if you were part of the southern kingdom, you were still under David. And it would be tempting for you to say, well, no, not those other people from those 10 tribes. If they repent and want to come back under David, let's not receive them in. But the message is here, no, receive them in. Rejoice at everybody who wants to come in and worship our great King Jesus. So your summary for you. The people of David's day were long-timers and new folks, foreigners. And in this passage, we see the new folks as well as the longtime Israelites recognizing the great value of David being their king. We see them joining together, both the priests like Zadok and Abiathar, native Israelites, and newcomers like Ittai and Hushai, joining together to serve the great king David. And no one from the Long Timers objects here in this passage to the new folks coming in and serving the king they loved. And in just the same way, we rejoice regarding our king, the son of David, Jesus. So, here are your blanks. The extension, and well-being of Jesus' kingdom is our goal. The extension and well-being of Jesus' kingdom is our goal. So, you and I serve with Jesus with great loyalty and enthusiasm. Serve Jesus with great loyalty and enthusiasm. And be glad when other people recognize Jesus' value and come into the church to do the same. Let's pray.